Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and this is number 10 in the Victory Pack. Now, I want you to understand there is maybe one or two other issues that I would consider to be very fundamental and very essential to living in victory, and one of them is health and healing. But through what we've covered in these previous messages and what we're going to cover in this message, you'll discover that the principle for experiencing the promises of God is all based on what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to realize, unless we bring all truth back to the death, burial, and resurrection, then we are off base in our understanding of the application of that truth. So always, always, always bring truth back to the death, burial, and the resurrection. And you're going to understand how to do that and how to do that effectively as we go through this particular message called Activating Your Faith. Now, in the parable of the sower and the seed, I call this the heart physics parable. And if you're familiar with any of my teachings, you know we have a program called Heart Physics where you get in touch with Christ in you and you create this abiding awareness of Christ in you, because Christ in you is the mystery that whenever we connect with it, it becomes the place where we experience all that we have in Jesus. See, we're in him, he's in us, and experiencing him in our heart is where all transformation takes place. Now, in the parable of the sower, we have the story of the sower goes out, scatters a seed, and basically we have tended to focus all of our attention on the things that would keep the seed from growing in your heart, what would choke it out, how it could get stolen from you, and how the cares of life and this sort of thing can take it away from you. Now, that's all well and good, and that's good information, but at the end of the day, the primary key to this parable, or the most important part of this parable, gets down to verse 24, where it tells us, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, or the same measure you meet, as the King James says, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Now, you don't have to worry about any of the negative aspects of how to lose the Word of God if, in fact, you are focusing on the Word of God, if you are taking heed, if you're paying closer attention to it. As a matter of fact, the New Living Translation says it this way. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. So you start realizing that the key to receiving more or from the Word of God, more life from the Word of God, is all about paying close attention. How close attention to a pay. As a matter of fact, the Amplified Bible says it something like this. It says the degree of thought and study and consideration that you give to what you hear determines the amount of life that comes back to you. Now, this is the one place in the New Testament where it tells you absolutely how to get the most out of the Word of God. The Word of God is life, but it only is life to those who find it. That's what the book of Proverbs says when it talks to you about guarding your heart and establishing your heart. It says these words are life to those that find them. And you don't find the life in the Word of God until it is believed in your heart. Not just an intellectual concept that you just happen to agree with, but it's got to be believed in your heart. And we've already talked about the heart, so I'm not going to recap a lot of that. So the key to getting life out of the Word, and as far as we know from Jesus' teaching, the only way to get life out of the Word is to get serious, to pay attention to what we hear. Because the measure of attention that we give to it, the measure of thought, the measure of study, the measure of meditation, the measure of consideration, the measure of pondering, of thinking on, and not just intellectually thinking on, but you know, in meditation, here's the great thing about meditation. Remember, meditation or seeing something in your heart is when you think about something as it would be right now if you were living it in this present moment. So if you're meditating on the Word of God for healing, if you're meditating on the Word of God for prosperity, if you're meditating on the Word of God for peace, if you're meditating on the Word of God for anything, for victory over sin, it's all about experiencing yourself living in that right now as if it is happening right at this very moment. And the degree that you measure paying attention to meditating on, pondering on, considering, thinking about the Word of God, to the degree that you study this out, ponder this, and consider this, that and that alone determines the degree of life, the degree of virtue, the degree of knowledge, the degree of wisdom, the degree of everything that God has to offer you, that it can come back to you. So I want you to understand, we have to learn how to activate our heart, if you will, and activate our faith in the Word of God, not just expose ourselves to it intellectually. So you understand, and this is where you see that people who have just get more. People who get something, who get truth working for them, it just gets better and gets better and gets better and gets better. But verse 25 warns us, it says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, I want you to understand that being taken away is not saying that God's going to take it away from you. This word can mean for something to just basically float away or to be lifted up or to sail away. So when you don't pay attention to the Word of God, when you don't ponder it and consider it and meditate on it and think on it, then basically what little life you have right now tends to evaporate. It tends to simply float away from your experience. So principle number one, the degree of thought, study, meditation, consideration, and pondering that I give to the Word, that and that alone determines how much life comes back to me from that Word. Then here's the second thing that I think is so crucial for us, especially as Westerners. As Westerners, we have the idea that we have to know how something works before we can have faith. And the real truth is, we want to know how it works because we're holding God in judgment. We're saying, God, you explain how this works, and I'll decide if I trust you or not. God says if we'll trust him, we will get true understanding, because understanding is, in fact, a capacity of the heart, not the capacity of the mind. Knowledge is the capacity of the mind. And what we tend to do, where we get into trouble, even when we see the Word of God, when we see a promise in his written Word, or when he speaks a promise into our heart, is we immediately try to figure out how it's going to happen. And that's the way the mind works. With the mind, every time you see something, every time you hear something, every time you have an opportunity come to you, immediately your mind remembers every experience that you've ever had, every success, every failure, and it compares this situation to every previous situation. And in your mind, you immediately think you can or you can't do something based on what your past has been, which means it's based on your strength, it's based on your capacity. But you see, with the heart, we're always connecting to who we are in relationship to God. And so the heart is dealing with your beliefs, whereas the mind is dealing with who you think you are based on your past performances. And so what we convince ourselves is that if I can figure out how this works, or if I can figure out how to get there, get to that healing, get to that blessing, get to that promise, get to that peace, if I can figure out what it's going to take to get there, then I can have faith. And really what we're trying to do, we're trying to take control of the process. We're not really saying the Lord is my shepherd and I'm just going to follow him. We're saying, I'll believe your promise, and now, God, you follow me, and I'll show you how I want to get there. And it just doesn't work that way, because we think we know and we really don't know. It's not that God's trying to make this hard or difficult, but we're making it hard or difficult because we want to control the process. In this very same teaching about the parable, Jesus said in Mark 4:26, it says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth, which represents the heart, yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts forth his sickle, because the harvest has come. In other words, one of the principles of the seed in the heart, and this is another heart physics principle, is that you don't have to know how you're going to get there. All you have to know is the end that the Word of God promises you that you can have. Man, I don't know about you. That's powerful to me, because I want to go beyond my past experiences. I want to go beyond what I've had. I want to go somewhere else. So you don't have to know how it works. You just have to believe the truth in your heart. Now, this brings me to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is only one chapter long. Go to Hebrews, turn left, and you'll find the book of Philemon. Now, the book of Philemon And verse 6 of that one chapter is a chapter that forever changed my life. Back in about 1975 or 1976, man, I was in a conference, and I'm telling you, it was all of the big names of America were there. Some of the most polished speakers in America were there, and they were preaching and waxing eloquent, and it was wonderful. They did such a great job. Man, there was one country bumpkin preacher there, and I'll never forget it. He stood up to preach, and he preached from Philemon 6, and he preached for about 20 minutes, about 15 or 20 minutes. And I got to tell you, my life was forever changed. And from that day until this day, I'm not saying I haven't had struggles. I'm not saying I haven't had issues to overcome, because I have, but I have not had any issues about my faith since the day I heard that sermon, because I walked out the door and I began putting it into practice right then. Now, he didn't even dive into the wealth of the original language, and that's what's so phenomenal about the Word of God. You don't even have to know the original language. You can get enough out of the bad translations that we have to get more life than you can imagine, because you can ponder and meditate and consider and reflect on what you hear. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will teach you what the original language really says. But Philemon says this. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Man, if you just took that at what the King James says, it'd be enough to transform your life. If you want the communicating or the sharing of your faith become more effective, start acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. Stop acknowledging what's wrong with you. You know, you have to own what's wrong with you to overcome it. You know, the Bible tells us that if you confess and forsake your sin, you know, you'll overcome it. 1 John tells us, if we'll confess our sin, that God will cleanse us from the very root, as what the Greek implies there, very root of what's causing us to see or think or believe these corrupt things about ourselves. But see, we have this tendency, we got to go back and we got to find everything that's wrong, and that we've got to confess everything that's wrong, and then we got to figure out what we've got to do to fix ourselves and overcome our problems. I got news for you. What you want to do, whether you know what's wrong or not, doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know the promise of God that you're clinging to that's based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Do you know this, and are you willing to acknowledge this to be yours because you're in Jesus? You see, all the promises of God are ours in Jesus. That means any promise God's ever made to anybody, Old Testament, New Testament, anywhere, if you begin to acknowledge that, then your faith, it says, will become effectual. Now, we could just stop right there, but I tell you, I want to dive into what this really says in the original language, because this is so rich and so important for any and every area that we may not have covered. It says that the communication of thy faith, the word communication is the word koinonia, which is often translated as fellowship. Now, when we think about fellowship, we think about getting together and eating and sharing and that sort of thing, and that is a type of fellowship. But the word fellowship has to do with sharing something in common. So when the Bible talks about our fellowship or our koinonia with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit, what do we have in common? Well, the one thing that we absolutely share in common with Jesus is the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I want to tell you, if you have never listened to my series, 3 Days That Changed the World, I recommend that you get it, because it's all about the cross of Christ. I mean, it goes into great detail about what happened at each phase of the cross and what that means to us. Unfortunately, it's very rare that people use their faith in connection to what happened to the death, burial, and resurrection. We use our faith in a very general sense, just saying, okay, God said it, I believe it. And that's, you know, in a certain sense, that's enough. But I got news for you. What makes your faith come alive is when it is connected to what we share in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says that the koinonia, that what you share in common with the Lord Jesus by faith. I want you to understand, everything that we have, Jesus obtained by his faith. And then by our faith, we believe that we are in him because we believe on him as Lord. And then we share in what he obtained with his faith. We share in it with his faith. You know, the Bible says that this gospel, it reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith, or first to last. It's all by faith. It starts by his faith. It ends by our faith. And this is where we share. See, you've got to know what Jesus accomplished through the death, burial, and the resurrection. Well, I can tell you some things that he accomplished. I want you to know, that all of the Old Testament law or Old Testament word, not the Old Covenant, I'm not talking about the agreement whereby we are made righteous, because that agreement changed. And you see, Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he fulfilled all the ceremonies, all the rituals, all the sacrifices. He was the fulfillment of that. And so that's why we don't have to observe ceremonies and sacrifices and rituals, because we have faith in Jesus. Now, if you don't have faith in Jesus, you might as well observe all the ceremonies and rituals, because, see, they all have their fulfillment in Jesus. They were all just shadows of something that was to come. So, number one, we fulfill all of the sacrifices, ceremonies, and rituals through the cross of Christ. Now, when Jesus was on that cross, as we've already said a dozen times in this series, that he delivered us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. But see, we share that with him. And so, as we contemplate and meditate and ponder on the fact that we died with him, and therefore we are delivered from the curse of the law, I got news for you. Something's going to come alive inside you, and you will use your authority as a believer and say, no, I don't accept you. You're not from God. And you have to use your own authority. You have to make your own choices. This doesn't work automatically. God has really given us, you know, our own free will and our own freedom of choice and our own dominion over ourselves. Therefore, we have to operate in this authority that God has given us. So we say no to the curse of the law, because, see, we share this in common. We died with Jesus. The curse has already been poured out. All of the curse has been poured out for all of our sin. We don't have to participate in the curse any longer. Then also, we died with him. And when we died, all that we were outside of Jesus, you know, our old man. Now, people say, well, what is the old man? Well, the old man is any part of you that opposes the new man. The old man is any part of you, how life would be outside of Jesus. The new man is how life in Jesus would be if every part of it was working perfectly. And we share that. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we left behind every aspect of who we would be or who we could be, and all of the curses connected to that. We left all of that in the grave, and we were raised up in him. We were raised up in his righteousness. He obtained righteousness by his own faith. He received all of the inheritance of God. So Jesus is raised up, and we share that in common with him. The Bible tells us that he cast Satan out, and then he purged the heavenly holy of holies. And when he cast Satan out, the Bible tells us that he stripped him and gave an absolute final victory over him. Now, we were in Jesus when that happened, which means we share in that victory over Satan. We never have to be afraid of Satan ever, ever, ever again. I'm not saying he's not alive. I'm not saying he's not wreaking havoc on planet Earth, but I'm saying he has no authority over us. He has no authority to do anything to us. We share in that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that he received an inheritance from God. Now, that inheritance includes all the promises that he ever made to anyone, plus all the promises to the Lord Jesus and his eternal reign and all of these things. And because we are in him, we share in all of those promises and all of that inheritance. We are joint heirs with Jesus. And this is all because we are in him. And he sat down at the right hand of God, accepted by the beloved, and we are in him, and we share in everything that he has. So it says that what we share in him by our faith becomes effectual. Now, that word effectual is interesting, because in the Greek, that could just as well have been the phrase activated. It becomes activated. See, we need for the work of the cross to become activated in our life. And when we use our faith to connect to the work of the cross, when we use our faith to wrap our lives around the work of the cross, that's exactly what happens. Then the work of the cross becomes activated. By the work of the cross, I mean what happened through his death, what happened through his burial, what happened through his resurrection, what happened when he entered into heaven, what happened when he received the inheritance, what happened when he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, so it says that all of this becomes effectual or activated by the acknowledging. Now, that word acknowledging, its root is this Greek word gnosis, which is knowledge. But this is not a knowledge that is based on intellect. This is a knowledge that is based on experience. And so it's saying that we need to experience every good thing which is in us in Christ. So when we use our faith to connect to all of the finished work of Jesus, when we use our faith to connect to everything that Jesus has done through his death, burial, and resurrection, then what happens is that starts becoming activated and alive in us, and then we start experiencing it. And that's where we experience this as being true now. And the way we do this is by acknowledging, by experiencing every good thing which is in us in Christ. Now, we do this by confessing or acknowledging or worshiping all that the Word says that we have in Jesus. And I'm telling you, as we do that, our emotions start changing, but ultimately our feelings start changing. In other words, it's no longer just an emotion that's there when we think about it. It starts becoming the way we feel in daily life about ourselves. You see, that's where we want to go with God. We want to live in the finished work of Jesus. Now, and I want you to understand something. In the New Testament, there is only one process given for transformation for the new covenant believer. And it's based on Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, where it says we got to put off our old man. We got to renew our mind in accordance to what has happened in our spirit. And then we got to put on the new man. Well, you know, when you put off the old man, that's where you look and you say, you know what? Any part of the curse, anything that opposes who I really am in Jesus, I send it away. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to acknowledge it has no power over me. It has to go. I'm making a choice for it to go. And then I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to bring my thinking to line up with what has happened to me in my spirit. Well, what happened in my spirit? Well, in my spirit, I have been made perfect. In my spirit, I have been made completely righteous. In my spirit, I am as I should be before God. And I am going to begin to think about and see myself based on this. And I'm going to do this through the cross. And when I do this, then I'm going to do what the parable of the sower said. I'm going to meditate on this. I'm going to ponder on these promises until I have put on this new man, until it is my consciousness, until it is my living experience, until I can't see or experience myself any way other than how I am through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Listen, folks, I want you to understand something. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the most important event and all of history. We don't want to place our faith in what Jesus did when he walked around here, historically working miracles. I mean, we want to trust that. We want to look at that and say, that's the model that says I can do that. But where we want our faith to rest firmly is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Every time we take communion, we want to take communion activating our faith because we're connecting to what happened through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And you can do this in the area of healing. You can do this in the area of prosperity, in the area of peace, in the area of walking in love, in the area of overcoming any problem that you're having in your life. This is the most important aspect of your walk with Jesus. And you know, you do this through reading the Word, you do this through meditating and pondering, you do this through your prayer, you do this through your worship and praise, you do this so that everything you do, you're experiencing who you are, what you have, and what you can do in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. You'll probably need to go back and listen to these messages over and over again to just wring out every part of it. And remember, that's a part of pondering. That's a part of reflecting. You know, don't just listen to it once. Go back and listen to it over and over. And every time God speaks something to you, and you cut off your CD player, iPod, or whatever you're listening to, so you cut it off and you reflect on it, and you see yourself being and doing whatever it is that God has quickened in your heart, and you will find yourself experiencing transformation quicker than you ever imagined. And let me tell you something, if you want to bring yourself to the place where you are experiencing Christ in your heart all the time, then check out heartphysics.com. Find out what heart physics can do for you, because I want to tell you something. I want you to live with the abiding reality of Christ in you and with the sense of limitlessness that comes when you connect to his life, his resurrection, and his power versus your own strength, your own power, your own capacity. Be sure and join me every single week on Jim Richards TV. You can go there through impactministries.com. You can go there through Vimeo. But every week you can come to my website, you can receive a free broadcast of something that's going to encourage you and help you. And if you haven't done so already, be sure and download my free mobile app. You can put it on your phone, your tablet, your iPad, your iPod, whatever that you use to listen to messages. And that way, every day, you can get an encouraging quote or post, whatever God is putting on my heart that day. And I'd get so many people who are so blessed when they receive these. Just go to my webpage, impactministries.com, and click on the icon to download the mobile app. And then that way you'll get all of my blogs, you'll get all of my posts, you'll get a lot of free messages, you'll get access to all the resources that we've got. I'll tell you something, I want to invest in your life, and I want to keep your faith activated and alive.